is because many of us are extremely reluctant to order a series of tea on Sunday, March 22nd. We do this room one of seats. We have members present, our representative Hannon Douglas, Story Field, and representative Susan Hodgson, our extremely affiliated self representative. We're here with the members up there in the corner to have a public business. Thanks for having me, our community members, for being here on Sunday.
Thank you. to make sure that a lot of times the short year they will be secure with really their personal time in our state. And with that, I want to go over to ask the technology to come forward and walk us through what the community for this session will come to.
I guess, due to your, I think it's like
included intention. We include a letter from Jim Mechelin that they made very good, and we think we're planning somebody on the line from the North Dakota organization or two dash today. I guess if you're put on the line quite yet, but I would expect them to get me on the line here shortly. There is a possible amendment to this legislation, which we just make sure and clarify that this wouldn't impact in any way the amount of the purchase by DUDEC. Any other questions? Or is there anything else?
Thank you, Chair. How many of those are bonded squatters? Some of those squatters in a house. And they agree to that. And just cover them also, or put the landlord go ahead and kick them out.
Representative Cousins would not apply to squatters. Squatters would not be legalized. We would not be able to say that they were legal. You would still have to comply with all of the rest of the law. The first referendum to Brian Bailey with the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. Ms. Bailey?
Thank you, Chairwoman and members of the committee for inviting me to testify and share my importance to public connection for culture during the public health and economic crisis. And I have to tell the policy analyst with the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. About 42,000 on top of
All right, lesbians, you mentioned that probably about a dozen other states that put a moratorium on evictions. Are there any best practices that you are doing?
Thank you.
HR 6201 allow for employment benefits for past and expanded employment benefits and relief as well. HB 388 was necessary to be able to take advantage of those. There may also be as part of an omnibus package some additional provisions for wage relief. And it would be really important, particularly for small business owners and contract employees who are eligible for unemployment insurance.
Thank you.
as well. Now, so I actually heard conflicting opinions on Section 3. There's one opinion about Section 3 isn't necessary because one of the quarantine practices and standards for utilities in this practice, and then I also heard that this section should potentially be amended to allow for recouping of administrative expenses associated with COVID-19 response. So, for example, if utilities are trying to reduce the need for in-person applications or paperwork processing and create an online process, and they need to hire a contractor that's databases to do that work, if there's costs associated with that, and that they would need permission from the RCA to include that as a cost.
Yeah,
but following them. So the only confusion in Section 3 is that we are creating a regulatory asset, which rather than a trade risk of bad debt because of COVID-19 circumstances, that wouldn't usually qualify to be a regulatory asset. And if in doing so, we need to be cautious and make sure it's narrow enough that it doesn't in perpetuity create bad debt as a regulatory asset under statute, just as the temporary in these circumstances allowing those to be regulatory assets. Is, am I correctly summarizing what we've heard from you?
It's actually not the nature of the regulatory asset that's concerned that I've raised. The concern that I've raised is who's creating the regulatory asset. The exception right now to me is the certificated utility that created regulatory assets. The typical regulatory assets are created by regulators. So it's not so much what the regulatory asset is recovering the cost of.
Tomorrow, the vast majority of the RCA staff will be working remotely.
absolutely critical that we keep things moving.
Appreciate it. We appreciate your work. I believe our Missouri Republican has a question for you.
Thank you, Chair Small, which says, so Mr. Pickett, now after walking through Section 3 with Mrs. Attorney General Barry, I guess the realization is that by creating a regulatory asset and for bad debt, COVID-19 debt, does that simply mean that the ratepayers in the future pick up that bad debt?
Thank you.
Cascading series of effects that are part of the reason why we put the
coverage for clear bees in combination with the rent and the election fee. Those two go hand in hand. The reason you bring up the issue of Representative Sherman Harcourt, well, that's not what the regular Code Commission is talking about. There's an interesting backpack here because the mortgage holder, say, of a complex, the renters are going to have a hard time playing catch up. And then the mortgage holder will have a hard time.
Yep.
They catch up too, so there will be some bad debt there. And I mean, I walked out to a couple of landowners who have said, well, they will consider paying plans right now. It doesn't mean, because I'm talking about the whole plan, private insurance is coming in, it doesn't mean we take our hiatus from paying. But at some point, you feel for people when they really are, as we had the scenarios in the first, by our first presenter today, they're really strapped. And if this goes on and it takes a while to catch up for several months, nobody wants to evict anybody. And so it's just, there's uncertainties.
Absolutely, there are a lot of uncertainties. I represent Representative Rasmus in the motion.
Sorry.
Up and a lot of people who, many people who are owners of duplexes, small units, this would be, it would be a problem for them. I was just trying to understand their point brought out, since they don't really have a barrel to grow.
Well, actually, we're going to draw it, I think, as we mentioned earlier, that we're not having this bill that absolves somebody who's not able to pay the rent from having to be put on the liability that the lawyer needs, is that they would be responsible for it immediately. And so you wouldn't expect that if somebody was not able to pay their rent, they would still have the obligation to make up their rent in the future, but that it would be done on a case-by-case basis, or probably, you know, payments that are negotiated between the renter and the landlord, as opposed to being redistributed amongst all of the right payers, which is a sort of a different kind of scenario.
Thank you.
Scanlon. Are there any questions for Ms. Scanlon?
Question.
Representative Gill.
Ms. Scanlon, the governor recently vetoed a grant to represent the home that was failing on the citizens program. And now we go with the special needs help and grants. Talk about the impact of those students, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Gill. There are actually two ways of funding that we're concerned about. One is $1.25 million that was voted in the AHSC budget for the capital budget in July. And those dollars that have been restored, and I'm hoping that will be restored. So that's for the current year. And then the $2 million that was originally in the budget for 2021 was vetoed.
I'm going to
quick. Thanks to hear a different angle on the question. In your view, what would be most helpful in terms of making loan guarantees or other assistance available through it or other means? Thank you. Most centralized banks and private banks who won't have to bring up this.
My knowledge, I think, is a little long, but I guess it's time to actually talk about the central state guarantee program. That's one of the things that I think there's an opportunity to explore. Borrowers are really going to need liquidity. Anything else during this time period that doesn't really have the system defined?
Suggestion that the term person be defined to say natural person, and it doesn't matter that would mean that it would be excluding a small business or commercial enterprise that formalizes an LLC in the business associations. Thought that this bill should be narrowly construed to only deal with residential properties and not commercial properties.
We are looking for, when we read the bill with a short timeline to really analyze it, we read the bill with that exact question in mind. What is the definition of a person? Is this intended to help individuals or is this intended to help any entity whatsoever? Corporations, regardless of whether shareholders, LLCs, partnerships, sole proprietorships. The Alaska Bank Association does not yet have a formal position on the bill. We discussed it in the business committee, but that question definitely remains as to what person is the bill.
Thank you. So if we include clarifying language of lesson in my community, it's also a number of small businesses that are commercial operators. I'm using the example again of a bar. With no lead time, it's shut down, and they do not know at this point when they will have the legal authority to open their doors. And I know a bar owner of a business, but it's not a building that I do not own. As a policymaker, I think that I want to encompass them, and I guess I'm trying to figure out what the Bankers Association would follow that. And if it is, you don't have a position, you just pointed out that it's not clear that they're included. Understand whether your protection association or your thing should be treated differently for the protections that this policy is attempting to protect.
Well, for the chair, Dr. Chipping, I thought we'd answer really either side of that question. If a large piece of commercial real estate and a trade for large commercial businesses, we simply don't know if this bill is intended to prevent those types of foreclosures on that commercial real estate owner. So I understand where you're coming from with the smaller business. We're very empathetic. We're working with all of our small business customers that have come to us already. We need to understand in the bill what the real definition is.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really important question. It's news we're going to have many conversations about representing hand over in our house resources in the last couple of months. And, it's was really clear in introducing this to ensure that, people wouldn't lose their residence. People wouldn't be asked to leave their residence because of COVID-19 and recognize that it's really came to me because of the closure of restaurants and bars. A lot of people are living with the age of the people working in those industries. We want to make sure that they don't lose because they have a big problem with our state as it is. And it's who needs to have them. It's going to be somebody in housing, if at all possible, and to have all the related consequences.
that are associated with people becoming homeless. But it is also coming to our adult community, our small business groups, who are clearly, cashed out as well, including, some of those same businesses that are laying off or underemploying these people right now. Many of those small businesses are also pretty fragile, and so there's a couple of different ways that we could go in that, and perhaps, we'd like to be able to talk a little bit about, what some different constructs that might achieve it and might achieve the goal of protecting small businesses and individual Alaskans without, opening it up to large corporate entities.
Going to respond to the first one, express my strong preference for the bill to protect small businesses over banning mail lotteries and getting from 100 restaurants in Alaska that are very willing to get one in the room for a lot of money and kind of literature. One of the biggest dangers in this crisis is that basically if they lack cash flow for potentially a short period of time, they lose. We work with small businesses, which then magnify the economic impacts. So I think it's really sound economic policy to make sure that our small businesses can survive when a shock that has never occurred, frankly, in U.S. economic history. So
I agree with everything you just said. Perhaps you could let Paul try and answer the question that I posed to him.
Corporation, a company, a corporation, a firm, a self-gastric organization, a business trust,
having testimony during and post-war commerce about some of the provisions of several relief packages being proposed. And I'd like to thank Small Business Institute for this discussion. I think before we get out too far ahead of ourselves, right now, that's our plan story.
Thank you. I was just wondering if this is legal or Mr. Chairman, I had brought up a concern under, I can't remember what section it was, but how we can make it clear that this is a moratorium, which is prohibition of an activity of eviction. But in order to make sure that it made clear that it was not a forgiveness of the obligation to pay rent, do you feel that's clear in this bill?
The bill doesn't explicitly govern for forgiveness for any amount owed or due for the landlord or landlord that that needs proposal. The bill has subsection in section 4-5 explicitly stating that.
Forgiveness unless it is explicitly defined as allowing that.
I just thought they were not sure that people understand that.
Next up we have Cassandra Dagger.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for taking the time to hear me. My name is Christina Trevor, and I'm a Ball State, Ball State Banker, and I actually represent three different entities. The first one is I am inside of a nationwide franchise, which is owned through local legal firm property management, property appropriation for residential and commercial rentals. Now, the first thing I do in the power company for commercial residential, and the first thing I do is perform a landmark law for city property owners. I want to just say thank you for being involved. Many mortgage companies are very much told to understand that they need to help and they are already doing their part. However, directly is up to the stunning gifts of protection, which I'd like to send us during the conversation. The first thing I encourage the Anchorage and Valley at the AFR production to consider reopening and other areas to remain open day to day at people telephonically. This will allow the landlords to be able to take care of the status and construction of property. Today, I would like to ask for some consideration for myself. Number one, I currently have residential properties where the parties to the lease are persons, nonprofits, small businesses, contract workers, and property dispatching nurses, and other various entities. These need to be, this question about persons, I think, needs to be clear. Number two, many commercial properties do encompass local businesses.
Thank you.
oversight of Rosemond, do you have any questions?
No, but I do appreciate the part of the airfare of the
testimony today. I appreciate that. All right. Next up, we have Bosley New York with Dr. Hector.
Thank you.
things to that. I mean, my apologies for presenting it to you too. So Mr. Favorite, but the gift isn't just clarifying because you're trying to read your email and will at the same time to understand that the only thing that you've rewritten a whole paragraph of section one, but the words that are different are on the fourth line of it, beginning with except those, and ends with the date of March 11th. And then that overlaying of the email that we have in front of us, so that's the confusion, because I'm trying to do an edit in my mind of where these are, but we're reading, you know, legal language where you restate it all, and so trying to explain that what would be the underlined portion to insert and where exactly to insert it in reception one. We're looking at the email that was sent us in the section in parentheses, it's the last three lines essentially that he's suggesting that I didn't want to put an element for this. Is like we're trying to make sure that we get the two edge purchased and unwound key isn't affected negatively by any canonical edge statute that's not being exploited. Right. And I also just wanted to clarify, I did not address these parts, questions, or concerns, and the way that the bill is framed right now is that the when we determine that the ROC, that the special regulation is over, is when the governor has received a recommendation from the Department of Health and Social Services that the public health emergency is over, and the governor and the legislature will both do that to further extend the public health emergency. Right now, it's just a 3-day period of time. We are saying in this bill that it is possible that it could be extended and didn't want to put an artificial number on it and so essentially have a year long time frame. We will never need to use that much time in this bill to hope that we'll be able to conclude this public health emergency much sooner than that. But we did a little bit of flexibility, but that's the time frame under which we're considering it. We'd only be extended with both approval by the governor and the legislature. All right, and next up is Dean Thompson, who is counsel to the Alaska Power Association. Mr. Thompson.
I don't think much, but I would like to know that the
process right now for ensuring that a utility who has regulators, individual regulators who aren't able to pay their obligation, to a utility, how would your internal process currently for carrying over that? You necessarily have this issue come up with fair frequency and everything members of the power association. Let's take that part of the group, Henry.
So I chose a bad example because my utility here had a special auto launch out clause already in their regulatory authority. But now we're getting the COVID cleanup plan for, of course, now we have because we didn't know that our regulatory utility was going to need extraordinary cleaning. You're asserting that we need to grant authority for the RCRA for every utility to be able to keep track of those extraordinary expenses related to COVID, that they are ever able to recover them or have insurance under that clause. Am I hearing you correctly?
I think I'm going to be very strict.
Thank you.
was made by Ms. Parks when she called in that was potentially on a longer time frame, and given that the legislature some of those 2 months left in the constitutional legislative session this year, and that the bill as it's currently drafted would go through April of 2021, and the legislature would come back again in January 2021 regulations to the time frame that it is currently constructed. So, if we need, if God forbid this does leave that long, we'll have the opportunity, plenty of opportunity to come back and make any changes that are necessary. We've got a lot of really useful input today. We'll be able to sort of revise the proposed language in ways that we can also help to better meet the needs of both landlords and tenants, lenders, and mortgage holders. Hearing the labor of our families.